For some testimonies of why you love your church. And we have three people who said they have something they want to share. They contacted me. But we're going to open it up to anybody and everybody who would like to say something after they finish. So Lisa Tyler is going to come speak. And then Sarah Austell. And then David Scott has something he wants to share. So be thinking, does the Lord want you to come up and share why you love the church? Tell us a story. That's something you were personally involved with, or maybe something you saw happen that made you love the church more. So Lisa, come on up.
But I think one of the reasons why I love this church so much and have grown to love it over the past year is because it's really about God and your relationship with God and the redemption power of God and the grace and the mercy and the love that God shows on a daily basis, and not the condemning side of God. And that is so much what I needed when I got here. So I thank you for that. I think the other part is just, as everybody's always talked about, it's the community. It's about the love we have for each other, the willingness to help each other out in times of good and bad. And it's also about the community. It's about really loving the Memphis community and helping out when we can, and doing the things that just show God's love. And I thank you for all that.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I love my church because I have never been a part of anything. And here we are very comfortable. My kids are comfortable. They're getting the soul, the power of God that they really need. They're in the place that they need to be in. And 6 to 9 months ago, I was in a place in my life that was not very good, and it was not leading me to where I needed to be. And one day I opened my eyes and told my mom, I want to go to church Sunday. And since, we have been here, and it's been nothing but up as I've come closer to Jesus. And I love it. No, I thank everybody here for being here.
If you were here to watch my video testimony the other day, it was supposed to be like one sentence. There's no way I could do that in one sentence. So I'll expand a little bit on what I was trying to keep to this one little thing. So we've been here a really long time. Joshua, who is now 15, where's Joshua? He's back in the back. There he is. Was an infant when we came to Cordova Community Church. And one of the things that I've learned, especially here, from Gary Ely, is that God is a generous God, right? And as we, lead people to grow and to fully develop followers of Jesus, that means we become more generous people, right? Because we imitate the God who sent his one and only Son, right? Who causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And when you look at the early church in Acts chapter 4, they really lived this out well. And I want to read this. This is Acts chapter 4. So I'm going to be really wordy today. Sorry about this, guys. Let me get down to where I need to be. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. This is how they live out their generosity. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles and give to those in need. Hey, this is a church that does that. We imitate the generosity of God. And I can tell you that in those 15 years that we've been here at Cordova Community, we've been on the receiving end of that so many times. Several years ago, this is just one of many, I promise. Several years ago, we found out because of the location of our house, we're not in the best neighborhood in town, and the age of our house, we were going to lose our homeowner's insurance, right? The condition of the house had gotten to the point where they just didn't want to take care of it anymore, right? So Stacy let somebody know. I don't know who she told, right? All I know is that on a Saturday morning, an army of people showed up at my house, tools in hand, and they painted my house. They replaced every rotten piece of wood on my house. They lent their time, their materials, their talents, even some people brought money, helped with the buying the supply, because, you know, it really cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars to just get the supplies to put the house together the way it needed to be. And by the end of the day, I had a completely different house. And I got to keep my insurance, thank goodness, right? It was amazing at how people just showed up. I didn't even know they were coming, right? It was amazing. And guess what? You know what? I've seen that. Barry talked about people showing up at his house a month or so ago. I can remember an army showing up at Mac's house one day because he needed help. That's what we do here. We are generous with what we have. And I love my church because of the way they act out the generosity of God.
It's coming Saturday, October 1st. Will be 1 year from the day our son died in our home of a heart attack. Totally unexpected. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning on October 1st. As we tried to help him before the EMTs got there, we did everything we could. As the 911 people talked to us on the phone trying to help us. But it was to no avail. Immediately we called some people. Gary and Mary Ely. Danny and Georgia Cisco. And some lifelong friends of ours, Roger and Louise Linkus, that we met in the Navy, now live just around the corner from us and go to the Millington Church. They sat with us. Danny and Georgia rode with us to tell our daughter. That was a hard, hard time. And the events of that night keep coming back to us. And this week that's ahead of us, it's going to be very hard. His birthday was the 12th of this month. That was a hard time for us. I love this church because of you. Hillary came and sat with us one day, just for an extended period, talked and prayed with us. David and Stacy did the same. Many of you have just surrounded us and held us up. Pam Denman, Allen, Eddie Randolph. I could go on and on. Many of you came to our home after the memorial service and sat with us as we ate. And we're just your presence, Oscar and Lisa, we'd only known for about a week. And they came, and they've been so tender and kind and supportive of us. Anita's not with us today, by the way, because she had some dermatology work done on her face and her nose this week, and they took some biopsies, so she didn't want anybody to have to see that, so that's where she is today. I just love you. As I look around here, I see faces of people that love God and love others. So that's why I love this group. Paul said something to the Corinthians I want to share with you. You probably remember. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I want to tell all you young folks over here, I love you dearly. I'm proud of you for your faith. I pray that God will be with you as you walk each day and keep you safe. And I pray that you realize how much your parents love you, regardless of their past, regardless of the mistakes they've made. We made mistakes as parents. And we look back and wish it had been different, but we can't change it. But the love we had for our child is beyond any love that you can imagine. Remember that. Honor your parents. If they're not worthy of respect because of their actions, you can still love them and honor them. Make good decisions. And tell them you love them. The night before Chuck died, as he went to bed, he told us he loved us. We always would tell him we loved him. Those are good, good memories. Please remember that. And parents, I say to you, love those kids. Hold them close. Tell them you love them over and over. Our son had been away for years, away from God. And by God's providence, in response to many of your prayers and many others, he had come home 3 years prior to that. Had been living with us. Had gotten a job at FedEx, a temporary job, working for Stacy Myers, who was a member here at the community at the time. And she was so encouraging to him, meant so much to him. I saw his heart change through those 3 years so much. And so I'm trusting God's grace and mercy that Chuck is in a good place. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving God. Thank you for loving each other.
Let's pray over here, if you don't mind. Come on up here. Let's gather around Charles. It's going to be a hard week for him, like he said. So let's pray for he and Nita and Paula, the daughter. And I'm not going to lead this prayer. I'm going to ask anybody who wants to pray to go ahead and pray.
David Scott just mentioned a few things about them being with us, and I started to do a tribute to Ethan. Because first time I met him, he's pants down looking for toilet paper. Just shameless. It was and then them helping us move, and David and I are pulling onto our street, and there's this kid racing up the hill, nowhere near our home. And David's, that's my kid. But I guess it was Easter this year. We had almost all the guys back. Me and David and Barry and Mr. Mack have worked with a group of boys that are a strong group of kids. You see some of the fruit of them here. And Corbin's relentless pursuit of his friend is a result of some fine parenting. Those are some godly people right there. Somewhat unconventional. But godly. And all that to say is parenting is the hardest thing I've ever done. It is a ripoff. Nobody tells you how hard that's going to be. Yeah, you too. But what I know and what I love about this place is there are some people here that have intimately and generously invested themselves into us and our kids. And what I know is that my kids trust these people, and I trust that these people are not going to sit idly by while my children are buffoons. And I will use that word. But I know that they have truth and love for my family and for us. And I know that anytime I need help, it's available. I've asked for prayers, and I always receive them. I receive follow-ups. And there's love and compassion here. And this family of people has helped me and Hill raise our kids to know God. Like Charles said, we falter often. You know, if it were up to me, my kids would be a wreck. They may still be someday, but I love them. I keep looking at that one for some reason. He's grown into this sarcastic age that, at any rate, I just want to share that this place is loving. And if you look back on Facebook, you'll see a picture of this crowd of guys. And just the fact that I know I can talk to any of them, and I know that men here will speak truth to these guys at every turn and are willing to do it and have permission to do it. And I love this guy right here for sure. Just what a blessing and a friend he's been through the years. We used to have a devotional time early on Wednesday mornings, and just Barry always came, and just the time of fellowship and prayer and spiritual blessing that came out of that, and being able to share what's going on in our lives and knowing that they're going to speak truth to me. I'll bring up David one more time. I had a thought in my mind and David didn't agree, and I gave my thought again, trying to convince David he was wrong. And I said, so what do you think? He says, well, I think I just told you what I think. He wasn't willing to change. He values the friend more than the friendship. And I respect and love that. And I'm grateful for that, because I have men here who will tell me the truth, whether I want to hear it or not. And I would encourage all of y'all to tap into that, because it's available. There's a lot of love here. Thanks.
I may not be able to make you laugh as Ken has done, because I have some different language problem maybe, but I want to say something why I love the Church of Christ. Because the thing is, when I was converted in 1976, I surrendered myself to the Lord and determined to preach the gospel. But I didn't know how I will do it, because at that time I did not have resources to do this. But I was praying, and at that time I was in Indiana University, and then I was attending North Central Church of Christ, Bloomington. And the one thing attracted me to the church was the elders and the members of the church were very generous, very loving, very gracious. And when I was converted, I think this was the divine plan of God, we can say, that the elders prayed about this thing, and they had meeting with me, and they were very kind and gracious to sponsor my ministry in Pakistan. And they did this thing. They employed me as a missionary. Employed, not a missionary, but they employed me on the staff. I didn't expect it, because they did this regardless of color, culture, race, and national originality, you see. And this was a great love I saw in the Church of Christ. So in the teachings of Church of Christ, I have learned one thing, that we must believe whatever is clear in the Bible. So we must not add anything, we must not subtract anything from the Bible. So this has become the basic principle of my life and my teaching also. So I do not believe any dogma. I believe just the Bible, what the Bible says. And the slogan of that restoration movement was, speak what the Bible speaks and be silent about what the Bible is silent. So this, the principle I have taken in my life, and I, while I was in Pakistan, I kept this principle, although it was very difficult to preach the gospel because the Church of Christ was quite different than the other denominations. So, but I think God was with me, and he helped me and made me successful in many ways. But something happened in our family. I had to come back to America. And so I came and made Memphis my home. And this church, community church, was the closest church to our apartment. So I was looking for any congregation, where should I worship? Then I found this congregation. I think first I called Barry. We had a cup at coffee, a cup at, what is that? Oh, yeah, Starbucks, yeah. And we had a talk together, and I started attending this church. So I love this church because it is a family. I love this church because the leaders and the people of this, are members of this congregation, are very gracious, very loving, very friendly. And the most thing I like is they are very open-minded. Whether somebody agree with them or disagree with them, they always open the arm to accept them. And I like this idea, and I love this church for their generosity, because whenever I request for my need, for my ministry, they're always ready to help me. So they have been praying for our family. When sickness comes in our family, they are ready to pray for us. They love us, and we love this congregation also. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to speak on behalf of our youth of here. And I'm just really proud of, like, all of us. I think we make a big impact on other people and other churches. And the way I see that the most is at work camp, when all my crew leaders tell me that, like, every time they've had a Cordova kid on their group, they've worked the hardest, like, more than anyone else. And we make an impact, and yeah, we can thank our adults for that, because they've taught us to be like good workers and stuff, so that's it.
So I have like three moms here, right? Like every big life decision I make, I'm like, how would my mom feel about this? How would Miss Hillary feel about this? How would Miss Stacy feel about this? I'm like, I have to go through a list of adults, and like every time I make like a financial decision, I'm like, Mr. David and Miss Stacy told me not to put myself into debt. I can't do that. I can't take out student loans. I can't do that. So I like the fact that we have really good intergenerational relationships here. You know, we have people with a lot more experience in life, and we have people that can look up to us. And it's been really, really good for me in my kind of transition into adulthood. To have that, to have you guys telling me, you know, what's the best way to do things, and also being able to have the kids, you know, t- to kind of guide, and it's really cool. I like that aspect of our church a lot. And also I like how we all go through different phases in our lives, and we go through a lot of changes, and it seems like we all work with each other really well during those phases. I've done and gone through some things that I didn't like, and I'm sure you guys didn't like seeing me go through, but you guys have all like really worked with me on those things, and you haven't just like shunned me, sent me out like I probably deserve to be. And it's really cool how you guys have stuck with me for all these years, and you know, even when I went through terrible teenage phases, y'all kind of dealt with me. So I like that. I love you too, Mom.
Okay, so we've been here 8 weeks, my family and I, and I can tell you that I love this church because I'm impressed. We came from a very different environment in Wisconsin. It's just a different kind of a place in general, but our church was different also. We had, started with about 30 people in 2008, a core group, and grew that church to about 900 by the time we left a few months ago. And with church growth came incredible responsibility for service, because we had to set up 900 chairs, and still were when we left, every single Sunday. We met in a school, and we grew our worship team to 4 different crews, and we had ministries upon ministries. And although we were very blessed as a family because we were able to plug in, my wife started the youth group there, and we were able to see the Lord grow that youth group from 20 teenagers to several hundred now, and I was able to get into the preaching rotation. I was able to lead worship and play guitar, and it was just a great place for our family to plug in and learn how to serve. But one thing happened that I really didn't put my finger on until I came here, and that was that, I won't speak for any of the other core group in the church, but I'll speak for myself and my wife. We were so tired. We were burnt out. We realized that we served because we had to serve. We had 800,000-900,000 people coming for 2 services, a simulcast, another location, all these things. We had to get everything ready because there was an imperative, and it was 9:30. And if we weren't ready, it was going to be embarrassing, not only for the multi-sites and the internet and the worship team and all of these things, but it wouldn't have been excellent for the Lord. And that was our main thing. We were very concerned about being humble and doing whatever we were doing in excellence for the Lord. But we had to. It was not a choice. And so what I see here and what we lost, and I say we, I'll say myself, is the heart of Christ to serve. Because when you don't feel like you have a choice, you can't come from your heart. And so what I see here is people who, from the moment our U-Haul pulled into our driveway, I saw people with hearts to serve. I saw people who didn't even know us come with their families to unload this truck on a 95-plus degree day with no air conditioning in the house. It was awful, but you stayed. And I've seen people surround our family with love. And I see in this church the heart of Christ in everything you do. You serve because it's in here. You want to. And that is very, very transparent and clear to our family. We never feel and have never felt like y'all show up because somebody told you to or because you have to. It's genuine and it's authentic, and I thank you. And that's why we love this church.
This morning before we came to church, I was on Facebook, because that's what you do, right? But somebody, there's a group that I'm a part of for Marine parents for support, and every day they post a scripture, and this morning they posted a video of the recruits in service. It's of them singing, and they were singing, "These are the days of Elijah." Now, when you are in the Marines, you go to church. They have several different religions, and if you choose not to go to church, you have to do chores. So most recruits go to church. But the song was, "These Are the Days of Elijah," and that was one of Josiah's most favorite songs that we sang, and it reminded me of the kids and all the things, the actions and the way they got excited. And then to watch this video of these recruits singing this song and them really getting into it made me think about Josiah and Aaliyah, who is the most hard-headed, stubborn young lady ever, but I don't know. Probably her dad. But it made me also start thinking about how with all of the odds against the kids and I and the things that we went through, they should be in a lot worse situation than they are. Normal stats, they should be on drugs, dropped out of school, pregnant, you know, criminal of some sort. But I can honestly say we've been coming here 9 years, I think, and that was just how I would have been 10. Just hard to imagine, so little. But I think because of this community and the men and women that have helped me and walked beside me to raise Josiah and Aaliyah, they are where they're at in their life. And because of the influence that Mr. Ken and Miss Hill and David and Stacy and Barry have had on their lives and have helped me to guide them and raise them, you know, I can stand here and be so proud that we beat the odds. Maybe not yet, but that's the point. We have beat the odds of where normal society says that they should be because of the circumstances that we were in for so many years. So I love this church because of that and how you walk beside each other and help us raise our kids, help us make good decisions. Sometimes we don't always make good decisions, but just that is what it is. You know, they say it takes a village to raise your kids. This is our village, and I'm so, so proud of and excited and love that we're a part of this, and that the fruits of the things that you have poured into them are coming through fruition, so I can say. So thank you. If you want to see the video of them singing, These Are the Days of Elijah, go to my Facebook page because I posted that video. You can't help but cry just because of it. Overwhelming. You can just feel the power that's in that room. So